where that's where this comes into play, because that has to be a constant awareness every day of our lives. And so the first slide that comes up for you today says this. This is why it's necessary for us to pay more attention to what we've heard, or else we might drift away from it. So we look in the mirror and we ask the questions, are we drifting? I think many of us today in America, we are in particular defiant by nature. Have you said any of these things? I don't take medicine. Those doctors think they know everything. This is a quote from a church member I had once. The doctor told me if I didn't lose 25 pounds, this procedure was going to be miserable, so I gained 25 pounds. Nobody tells me what to do, he said. I will get my traffic tickets fixed because I will drive as fast as I want to. If people would just listen to me, it'd be such a better world. My exercise is from the couch to the fridge to get another beer. I don't go shopping. I've done all that before. Now, none of those statements in and of themselves are a real problem spiritually until we realize we like having that attitude. We think it becomes us. I have noticed as I have gotten older, the age gets increasingly younger where we say things like, the filter's coming off. I used to hear that from 70s and 80s, and now I'm starting to hear it from 40s. I can't wait for the filter to come off and me to be able to say whatever I think. We think it's our right to have a bad attitude. Does any of that ring true? When we look in the mirror, do we look out at this magnificent world that God has created and we see all that's wrong? Maybe we have drifted a bit. May we have drifted from our core belief that we need grace. Maybe we have drifted a bit that says we need to visit this cross of Christ all by ourselves. To look at the place where Jesus died and go, oh dear, I belong there. Our next slide. I think each and every one of us know that these attitudes that we sometime walk in our world with is not Christ-like. Do you see that face of Jesus? That magnificent look, the smile, the words of grace that come from that mouth. Can you see him sitting amongst the people? What we're trying to do on Wednesday evening is paint you a picture of Jesus visiting with humans like us. Who likes it? Who doesn't? Who's opposed? Who's for? To walk all the way around a passage and at the very center of each and every spot, see this face that's before you today. I put a quote there by an old mentor and colleague and friend, Dr. Robert Mulholland. He says, the process of being formed to the image of Christ takes place at the points where we are not like Christ. And the first step is personal confrontation for ourselves. Go to the next slide for me. This is a picture of Robert Mulholland not too long before he passed of cancer. His book that I highlight for you today is called An Invitation to a Journey. You've heard me allude to his thoughts in sermons, but this is the first time I've shown you what he looks like and what his book is like. Our cross that we carry is not an affliction, but it is often an attitude. It is the point that we are most unlike Jesus. And Mulholland suggests that that is the banner we carry before the community. It is not our Christianity. It is not our faith. It is not how much we attend church. It is not how much we pray or how many Bible studies we are in. But it is in the attitude with which we portray our Savior in this world. And so some of those things that we think are our rights to say what we think, to stand our ground and to have a terrible attitude amongst others and to tell them they're wrong seems so unlike the Christ. Mulholland says that everyone is in the process of spiritual formation, that we are being shaped either into the wholeness of Christ or into some destructive caricature of that image. Not only to ourselves is it harmful, but we inflict brokenness on those around us when we let our attitude shine. the direction of our spiritual growth is towards Christ or away from Christ. And so this passage is asking us, are we adrift personally today? The next passage, you'll look at the slide, you'll read along with me. Here's the what if. What if the words spoken by the angels was reliable? Another way to translate that is true. What if this book is true? What if every offense and every act of disobedience would receive an appropriate consequence? That's why I always bring up fixing our traffic tickets, because that's been a dilemma. I have always known cops. I've always known the people who could handle those things for me. But is that right? I wrestle with that. I don't know what I'm going to do the next time I get that ticket that cost me $225. Am I going to pay it? I paid the last one. But it's a dilemma every time. The text says, how will we escape if we ignore such a great salvation, if we don't tend to our soul? And so I ask you today simply this question, what will you do if the Bible is true? Well, I believe the Bible, Bill. When Romans 13, it says to obey the law of the land. Anybody cheat on their taxes? Do we get our traffic tickets fixed? Ephesians in chapter 5, it says, don't get drunk, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's okay to have our adult beverage, but how many can we have and still represent? Don't speak bad of another. Why, that's the Christian pastime, isn't it? The nature and the character of God are found in the person of Jesus, and we are to live out that nature found in the Christ in our daily lives. And so one of your pillars is spiritual transformation. What I'd like to say is, and I said this Wednesday evening, when we step into transformational discipleship, when we decide that we would like to grow spiritually, we assume that our beliefs, our theology, our wishes, and even our political, economical views will be challenged, changed, or questioned by Jesus. Next slide is a quote from a church member from some time ago. I had been preaching on the character of Jesus, and he came up to me with a very sad look on his face and says, Jesus sure gets in the way of what I believe. That's the case for many of us. That we have a set of beliefs, and then we read those people parables where Jesus interacted with the people, and we realize not just that I don't act that way, but I'm not sure I want to act that way. That's a dilemma for each and every one of us. The text will go on to tell us that it was announced first through the Lord, confirmed through those who heard him. God vouched for the message with signs and amazing things and miraculous miracles and gifts from the Holy Spirit, which we were handed out just the way God wanted. You, my friends, are the sign that God is real, loving, and healing for humans. We are the sign that God is loving. Our first task is to be loving. Historians say that the early church grew exponentially faster than any generation for the simple reason they outloved the powers that be around them. That is our task. So what would be amazing if a sign that God is transforming us is that we invest in changing our attitude? Would a miracle be that we are no longer going to be judgmental of others? Would amazing things that the text says will take place be us yielding our will and our way to grow a church, to serve others? And here's one, to allow others to lead us. I sat with a young man, he was 36, he has been in his fifth job. And finally I just said, what's the problem? He said, I just don't like anybody telling me what to do. And as soon as that boss wants to tell me what to do, I'm out the door. I said, you have 5 years. If you're not putting something in a 401k, you will be a burden to your family and to your children when you're 80. You see, another story. I had a dairy farmer. He and his brother were in dairy farming, and he told me, he said, I'm a dairy farmer because I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I said, when do you have to milk? He said, well, the cows have to be milked here, and they have to be milked here. I said, so cows tell you what to do. There you go. If people aren't helping us and telling us what to do, nature will. Can you hear that? Do you know they say if you drink one Coke a day, you'll add 5 pounds a year to your weight? Walk that out 50 years. There you go. Some healing spiritually can only take place in the context of relationship with others. That's why we do spiritual transformation. That's why we do small groups. So we can emotionally, spiritually engage with a relationship with someone who disagrees with us. So that we can enter a relationship and learn from somebody not like us. So that we can see God in the story of another and realize that mine is not the only story on the planet Earth. And so simply, are we in a small group? Are we a part of a group? Had a man tell me once, well, I'll be glad to be a part of a small group if I'm the leader. And then the statement came out, nobody's telling me what to do. Are we bringing others to church? Or do we like our little cluster? And then here's a big one. Are others allowed to be honest in your presence without being corrected? I offer you another book today. It's a wonderful book. It's one of my favorite authors. See you the next slide. Everything Belongs by Father Richard Rohr. It's a book on contemplative prayer. But he said if we don't learn to transform our pain, our brokenness, and the need to be in charge as part of our brokenness, we will surely transmit it to others. It is quite possible that's what the church is doing today in the world in which we live. For we are beginning to realize that the unchurch of the day, they are not opposed to our God, they are opposed to us. There's a fascinating book that says the unchurch like Jesus, it's us they don't like. Because we may have become that destructive caricature of what the Christ is like. And we are transmitting our pain when Pastor John in a sermon week before last so wonderfully highlighted, listen, can I just say, and I said this to the district superintendent this week, John annoys the dickens out of me every day because I have worked 42 years to be as talented as he is. Just bugs the life out of me that that guy is that talented. But he said, maybe the church is where we are real about our sin. And because some of us don't consider our attitude a sin, let's just say our stuff. And what if it is our realness to our life that will draw others to our faith? And what if it is our exposing, our letting others know that we're not perfect, that we're working? Jason Kidd several years ago said this as he was drafted to his basketball team. He said, now that I'm here, we're going to turn this thing around 360 degrees. Here you go, Ginger. Anybody get that? We're going to turn this thing around to go right back where we started. Too often in church life, our desire to not be told, to not change, to resist transformation, often we plan and we plan and we plan to go nowhere. In our spirituality, we want a bus driver. And do you know what spirituality and a bus driver is? The bus driver knows that at 2 o'clock, we're going to stop for a bathroom break at this rest area. At 4 o'clock, we're going to stop at Burger King, and we'll all get Whoppers, and the bus driver will get his and go outside and eat on the bus, and then we'll arrive at our destination, and the bus driver will wait till we're through having fun and then get back on the bus. What we need spiritually is an adventure guide. I used to take backpacking trips in my church. What a wonderful experience. For people who would sign up for my backpacking trip had to realize they knew nothing about where they were going. That I had a book that said, at so many miles we will find water. And we stopped and we got our filters out and we pulled water out of the stream. If you listened to the coaching, you hiked easily. But if you knew more than the guide, your pack was too heavy or you didn't have the things you need. Had a man named Kent. He was hiking up the trail. He was determined. He didn't need a tent. He didn't need a blanket. By golly, I'm going up the hill. And he's firing up the hill, going up the hill, going up the hill, going up the hill. He passes me by and says, I'm going to get to the top before you. And I said, well, everything okay? He said, Rebecca passed out on the trail. I said, what? I hiked back down, and sure enough, there's Rebecca laid out on the trail. Kent just stepped over and kept going. That night, the man without the tent or the blanket, I stuck my head out of my tent, and he was trying to bury himself under a log because the temperature had gone down into the 30s. Okay, here's the badness of Bill. I didn't invite him into my tent. I am a work in progress, my friends. Each and every one of us need a guide, not a bus driver in our spirituality. One of the greatest books I've ever read, I show to you next. Men, it's a good book for you. Chapters are very small. John Maxwell litters his books with sports stories. Okay, men? No pictures, but there's a lot of sports stories. He says we can never become what we need by remaining what we are. That talent is a gift, but character is a choice. That change is inevitable, but growth is optional. That the greatest day of our life is when we take responsibility for our attitudes. That's the day we grow up. And lastly, John Maxwell says this in his wonderfully humor way. If you don't change, it slides up there for you. If you don't change the direction you're going, you're likely to end up where you're headed. Coke a day, 50 years. The last slide is simply, we must free our minds. We must start every day with the thought we may meet somebody who knows more than we, who is deeper spiritually than we, that knows our God better than we. We must wake up every day with the thought that there's something for me to learn, there's something for me to grow. And there is a certainty that there are parts of me that need to change. There are parts of my attitude that are not like Jesus, and that's what I'm shining, that's what I'm showing, that's the sign that I carry before the world in which I live. It is the sign of my attitude. And so, we must free our minds. My first experience with Trooper Dennis Ryan, my life goal would be to make Dennis smile. I would love to know that Dennis was watching today. If you are, please call me. I know you have my number. Dennis pulled me over. I was doing about 85 down the street. I'd love to say I don't do that, but I'm working on it. He pulls me over and asks why I'm driving so fast, and I said I'm 20 minutes late for a meeting. He sees my volunteer fireman radio, and he wants to know who I work for, because it's the same radio every agency carries. And I said, well, I work with the volunteer fire department and the police department in Moundville. And he starts talking, and I laugh. And he said, why are you laughing? I said, because you're going to talk to me for 20 minutes, aren't you? Because I said, I'm 20 minutes late for a meeting. He said, yes, I am. And he smiled. I said, well, it's hot out. Get in the car and let's sit in the air conditioner and we'll visit for 20 minutes. We sat in the car and we talked about guns and family and basketball and football and just life in general. He looked at his watch. He said, well, that's about 20 minutes. You're good and late. And I said, thank you, sir. And he let me go. And I was grateful. I arrived safely. For within a short week or so, I would be called to the accident for someone who didn't arrive safely. You see, we will meet our own bad attitude if we're not careful. And it will not be pretty. Free your mind. If you're young enough to remember the 80s group In Vogue, free your mind and the rest will follow. Somebody over there remembers. Who let him in the room? I've learned to laugh at myself because I've discovered the certainty that I will trip and fall, if not physically, emotionally, spiritually, or in some other way. I have learned to get back up, whether it's because I have physically fallen or I have emotionally or spiritually or in some other way fallen. And I have learned that at every step, God is there with me. That's the self-discovery I want you to find today. And the attitude with which you go forward will either reveal your healing and your spiritual depth or the lack thereof. Come to the table. Join us for the holy meal. John? For it is the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus. We are sanitizing our hands. If you are watching at home, you are welcome to get some juice, a bit of wine, and some bread, sausage biscuit, and a cup of coffee. This is huge, people. When Jesus created this ceremony for us, he used what was there. Okay? This is holy because of how we approach it, not because in itself it is holy. It is holy because of the attitude we come repentant, we come humble, and we say, "Dear God, what you did for me." And so, healing for us today, John. In our brokenness, we remember. Join us, please. If anybody is not comfortable with intinction, we have what we will simply and humbly call communion to go. For it is our heart and attitude that we bring. The body of Christ, just for you. This is God's proclamation that you are the gift, that you are worthy. We come humbly and we come repentant because this is God's gift. It is the promise of life and healing. It is a sign of our letting go and walking in life, for ours is an abundant life, full of hope, with the opportunity for joy. For the attitude of the Christ was, "I will love them regardless. Go out into our world and be that." We will love them regardless. We will love one another regardless. We will come humbly before our God and we will visit the cross often. Not to point fingers, but to look at ourselves and to say, "Oh God, heal the attitudes of my life. When I fall, pick me up. When I walk in darkness, hold my hand. When I degrade the dignity of another, awaken my mind to your presence. That I would be like you, my God. That I would walk humbly with you, whether in light or whether in dark. That I would be honest and open with the people who join me in my faith journey. That I could say I am flawed and feel the love that they give to me. That I can say I have been wrong and feel the acceptance that I'm offered. And I will offer that to them. And the miracle that will take place is we will be called the church. We will be called the sons, the daughters of God. This is God's gift. For God is announcing that you are a gift to the world in which you live. Whether with joy or with pain, walk courageously. Feel the love of God and the presence of God. And know that you are not alone, that you are safe, and the love of God will never part. This is our promise. This is who we are.